and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you've tuned into the broadcast again, and we're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 13. Let's go ahead and read from verse 32, and then we'll continue on in the passage. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And so the disciples have asked in verse 4, tell us, Lord, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Tell us when, and tell us what it's going to look like. Jesus has told them what it's going to look like, but then he tells plainly that it is not known. It is not known by men when the time will be. Not even the Lord Jesus Christ knows the time when it shall be. And so God the Father is the holder of that time. God the Father is the one that is sitting there, and he makes the judgment. He makes the call when the iniquity of the world is full. Just like in days of old, when the Lord talked about the Ammonites and inhabitants in the land of Canaan, and he said that their iniquity was not yet full, that they hadn't got to the limit of what the Lord would stand and then bring judgment upon them. And then we read in the scriptures that the time of their iniquity was full, and the Lord sent other nations to destroy them. And that's the kind of business that the Lord is in. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I'll tell you who to fear. So much thinking that Jesus is just, you know, he's sweet and nice and never said anything that would offend anyone. And he's just like, bunnies and butterflies and fluffy things and that. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no greater exhibition of love than what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. But you know what? There's no greater exhibition of wrath when the long suffering of the Lord is full and come to an end, and the Lord pours out his wrath through Jesus Christ. Many don't want to face that, but the scripture is plain. But you know what? Don't forget, sinner. Don't forget, you might look to slam the Lord Jesus Christ and shake your finger at the Lord Jesus Christ of who he is, what authority does he have to mete out justice and judgment upon mankind? Well, he's the creator. But remember this. He's been long-suffering for thousands of years. He's been long-suffering for thousands of years. And you know what? He's been long-suffering through the years and decades of your life, sending the message unto you. And in our great nation, being born here, where the gospel, even in our wicked day, is yet so prevalent, and a Bible at hand at any time. If you need a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. And we encourage you to do so and look to the Word of God. And so the Lord Jesus is the Savior, and he is the one to be received, and he is the one that's being sent. And he says, I'll tell you the one to fear. Don't fear the one that can kill the body and after that doesn't have anything more he can do. He said, don't fear him. He said, I'll tell you the one to fear. Fear the one that after he has killed the body can cast the soul into hell. I say unto you, fear him. And it's a reverential fear indeed. It's a fear that we should have of God. And the thing is, the fear of the Lord should lead us to see, that we do need salvation, and the message of the Lord is true, and his Savior is the Savior indeed of the souls of men. So the Son of Man, Jesus, does not know when this time is. And then he gives us an example, a way to understand what's at hand. Verse number 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. So this is kind of the way that it is. The Son of Man is like a householder that's on a journey, and he's given responsibility to his household. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or in the evening, or at midnight, the middle of the night, or at the cock crowing in the morning, early, when the rooster gets up and begins to crow the day in, or in the morning, on up into daylight. You just don't know. You know, when Jesus comes, it'll be sometime all over the earth. When Jesus comes, it'll be morning in some places, mid-morning in others, midday in another. As we go around the globe and we understand how it is with the days on our earth, it'll be late afternoon somewhere, and it'll be night. Somewhere it'll be midnight when Jesus comes. Sometimes it'll be the dark of the night, there after midnight and before the morning hours. Somewhere it'll be just at sunup when Jesus comes, and it'll be back around to midday. It'll be that way when Jesus comes. Somewhere on the earth, it'll be all times, different times. And he says, watch, watch. He says, watch ye therefore. You know, you don't know when the master's coming back to the house that he's left to others. Stewardship. It speaks of stewardship indeed, doesn't it? The stewardship of mankind. We've been given this earth. We've been provided life by our Lord, and we've been given the blessing of this world to live on. We're to be using it to the honor and glory of God Almighty, but sin has certainly interrupted that. Our depravity, our wicked way, Satan and his feeding the depravity of man. And we don't use this whole world for the honor and glory of the Lord. Mankind does not. But you know what we're supposed to be? We're stewards. We're stewards of it. You know what? When the master gets back from his far journey, he's going to account. And he's going to take account all the way down to the use of the individual life. Watch ye therefore, verse 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Sinner, are you watching? Or are you just living life and enjoying yourself? I mean, it's the way the Romans were, eat and drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Isn't that a sad, sad way to be? A sad demeanor and thinking of life. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You know, that's what evolution has done to us. The lie of evolution that's been propagated to our children. We've got a handful, two or three generations that have bought into that 19th century lie of evolution. And survival of the fittest. Survival of the fittest is what evolution, one of the foundational principles of evolution is. Survival of the fittest. And we've been made to think that we're a bunch of animals. And so what do animals do? Well, they behave like animals. Dog eat dog, yeah, I think is a term that's used. The rat race. Looking to get up on the backs of others. And if we're animals, there's no such thing as morality. It's just survival. And that's the reason that we can kill upwards of 70 million babies over the course of, what, five decades? We can abort babies, have partnered crime by the mother, the abortionist doctor, the staff that they're working to abort the baby, and we don't even have a thought about it being wrong. It's an evolutionary lie that we've been fed. We're just a bunch of animals, survival of the fittest. One thing that, and I'll just go ahead and mention this, and I know this is a total rabbit chase, but it's always struck me odd that abortionists are so concerned about the right of the woman. And so for the right of the woman, the baby will be killed, which follows right on with evolution. the thinking of evolution, because the baby can't defend itself, and so survival of the fittest such as makes it to where the mother, the doctor, the staff can go ahead and if they can accomplish the taking of the life of the baby, then that makes it right because they're more fit and they're able to survive and the baby is not. Yet, this idea of survival of the fittest, why are we so concerned about species becoming extinct? Isn't that a contradiction? If it is indeed survival of the fittest, then species that would become extinct have just not been fit and have not survived. Why? And so there's such an uproar and even imprisonment and jailing of folks that harm certain animals. And I'm not saying we should be abusive to any creature. We're not to be abusive to any creature, but we can certainly hunt and use the meat appropriately and such as that. Other livestock needs to be defended from predators at times. All that in its right place. We should never torture any creature or abuse any creature in that way by cruelty. But to hunt and to fish and to take game for the sake of the use of the animal and the things that the animal has for meat is appropriate. That's the dominion we've been given. But why isn't why is the abortionist, which very likely would be an environmentalist and concerned about the extinction of other species, why are they concerned when evolution, the foundational premise of evolution is survival of the fittest? They're willing to abort a baby, but then they get tore up about a particular species becoming extinct. Wasn't that evolution at its work? So anyway, we'll go ahead and move on. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Watch, he says. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, lulled into a sleep, lulled into apathy, lulled into just using this world and getting the most out of life, no vision for the future, no vision for eternity, duped into thinking that this life is it, and then die and wake up in hell, or the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will be glorious indeed, and the sinner without Christ saying, "Oh no, I'm not ready." How is it with you, sinner? How is it with you? Oh, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are the sinner condemned before God, that you truly are, that you take God's side against yourself, that you're condemned and on your way to hell and destruction and a lake of fire forever. That it's true. And God has told you the truth. And you believe that and you receive that. And then you look to Christ. And what he did some 2,000 years ago when he came, God the Son became a man, lived a perfect life for 33 years, and then gave himself a sacrifice for your sins. Repent and believe and trust in him. Well, see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.